Okay, we're on Daf Yud today. We're going to start a review from the Mishnah on Ted Amud Bet. Hayah rochev al gabei behema v'ra'at ha-metziah. Guy's riding on an animal. He can't go down off the animal to get the metziah. He sees something. V'amar l'chaveiro t'nei ali. Give it to me, please. Nitala v'amar nizachiti ba zachaba. Right? If he says, he picks it up, the friend picks it up, as if for him, but then he says, oh, you know, I got it. It's for me. And that works, okay? He doesn't have to give it to the other guy. Remember this because we're going to get back to it. If once he gives it to him, and then he says, here, and they say, oh, but by the way, I acquired it for myself before. Okay, now before, when before is going to be, we're going to see. There's two options. What are the two options? At the moment of Hagbaha, or at some middle point before he actually, right, gave it to the other guy. Okay? In other words, was it at Shav Hagbaha, or was it at some middle point in between, right? Tchila, does it mean tchila from the very beginning when I picked it up? Or does tchila mean after that? Okay, so if he already gave it to him, and then he said, you know, but sorry, I took it for myself, too bad. He can't do that because he already gave it to you, and that seems to be an indicator. You have to always remember, do we know, can we believe this guy or not? Is he telling the truth when he said, I took it for myself? So since he already gave it to the other guy, it seems to be that he's not actually being honest about it. Okay, it's non-hatam. So now we quote this Mishnah in Peah, and we're going to see how it relates. If you walk over to someone's field, you take their pe'ah and you give it to an ani, can you say, I'm picking up this pe'ah to give it to a particular ani? Or, okay, that's Rabbi Lezer, Zachalo. Chachamim say no. You have to give it to whichever poor person you find first. In other words, you had no rights to this, or, you know, and you certainly didn't gain rights to it for this other person. Okay? And therefore, you have to give it to whoever you see first. So now there's a machloket about which case is the machloket about. Is a machloket about an ani who picks up for another ani, or is it a machloket about an ashir who picks up for an ani? So Amar Ula. Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, machloket me'ashir la'ani. The machloket's only if a rich person picks it up for the poor person. Rabbi Elazar savar migo deba'ibai mifkar nechse. V'have ani. Because on the one, you know, for the first migo is, if he wanted to, he could say, oh, I disown all my property, and he could become an ani. V'chazele, and then he's ra'oi to take the payah. So hashana mi'chazele, so therefore, since he potentially can do that, therefore, even though now he's an ashir, we allow him to be zochet to it. In which case, once he acquires it, since he can already acquire it for himself, therefore he can acquire it on behalf of somebody else. We can't put these two migos together. We can only use one, in which case we're going to say that it doesn't work. Okay, he can't be zochet for somebody else, and therefore as soon as he picks it up, right, he can pick it up because he's ra'oi, because he could be an ani, but he has to give it to the first ani he sees. Aval me ani la ani divrei kol zachalo. Tamigo zachel nafshe zachinami lechavrei. But if he was a poor person and he could already get it for his own sake, and you don't need the first migo, then we hold by the second migo, because we only need one migo. Everyone would agree that he could pick it up, and a poor person could pick it up and be mezakeh somebody else. Okay. Amar le Rav Nachman leula. Rav Nachman says, I don't know what you're talking about. V'le mamar me'ani la'ani machloket. Why don't you say that also me'ani la'ani is a machloket? Deha metziah, because what about our Mishnah? Our Mishnah is a metziah case. What's a metziah case? We're all aniim. Hakol aniim etzla. What does it mean, hakol aniim? We're all equivalent to the ani when it comes to peah. It's like an analogy, right? The ani when it comes to peah is like everybody when it comes to a metziah, because everyone can be zochet to the hefker. And what do you see here? Utnan. Haya rochev al gabei behema v'ra'at ha-metziah v'amar l'chavero t'ne'ali nitala v'amar ani zachiti ba zachaba. So I amar bishlama me'ani la'ani machloket. If you're going to say that ani la'ani is a machloket against what you said, okay, you didn't think it was, then it's going to work out very well. Because what are you going to say? Matniti mane rabananhi. Then the Mishnah will follow the Shita of Chachamim. What did Chachamim say in Peah? Yitznet alani and Sari Shon. This patent doesn't work. Right? So likewise in our Mishnah, the guy says, please pick it up for me. He picks it up to be mezakeh the other guy. But then he says, oh, by the way, you know, I'm keeping it for myself. And he's allowed to, because what happened? We didn't say, migo dezache lenafshe zachinami lechavre in the Mishnah. Right? So what do you see? Even me'anila ani, there's a machloket. And our Mishnah would hold like Shita Chachamim, who basically say this doesn't work. You pick it up, you can keep it for yourself. Okay? Or in the Mishnah in Peah, it was you pick it up and you can't be mezakeh the other person, right? It's a little different because in the Mishnah in Peah, it was you can't be mezakeh the other person. You have to give it to whichever ani first. But what it basically means is you can't pick up this item on behalf of somebody else. And in our Mishnah, it's saying if you picked it up on behalf of somebody else, it doesn't really work. And you can keep it for yourself if you want, right? So the totza'ot are totally different, but the principle is the same, which is when you pick up something on behalf of somebody else, it doesn't work, basically. Okay? So therefore, even me'ani la'ani machloket, and our Mishnah would match Rabbanan. Ela i'amar, but if we say like you did, that ba'ashir va'ani machloket, aval me'ani la'ani divrei hakol zachalo, if you say that everybody agrees, if it's an ani, remember, there's only one migo according to Ula, in which case, migo dezache lenafshe zachinami l'chavre, he acquires it for himself, and therefore he acquires it on behalf of the other person. So what do we do with our Mishnah? Hamani, lo rabbanan velo rabbi Eliezer. Everybody agrees in that case, Rabbi Eliezer v'rabbanan, in the Peah, right, that ani la ani, he would be mizakeh for the other person. In which case, when this guy picked up the mitzia, he was automatically mizakeh for the person who asked him to pick it up for him. So why does it say that he can keep it for himself? Doesn't make any sense. You follow? In our mission, it says, you pick it up, right? I asked someone to pick it up for me because I was too lazy to get off my donkey. You pick it up for me, and you could say, oh, I didn't pick it up for you. You know, you could just say, keep it for myself, because the principle, migo dezachin lanav, shezachin nami lechavre, doesn't work. Okay, so Amale, now we're going to have the obvious answer, which is you're comparing two different cases, right? Why doesn't it work when he picked up the mitzia? Because Amale, matnitin de Amar Tchila. He said, I asked you to pick it up for me, and you picked it up. Who's to say you were listening to me, right? You decided to pick it up for yourself. So he says Tchila. In other words, from the time of Hagbaha, when I lifted it already with the intent that it'd be for me. I never lifted it for you, or you know, the opposite. I know, the case I gave was I was sitting on the donkey. So I asked one of you, and you guys picked it up, and then you don't give it to me. And I say, but it's mine. And you say, what are you talking about? When I picked it up, I had intent for it to be for me. Okay?
Yes. Yeah. The person on the animal saw it first and said, look, there's something, can you pass it to me? Is it the person who saw it first? Or the person
so remember, we already learned that Re'iyah ba'ama lo kane, right? Okay. So he doesn't really have rights for it.
Okay.
The assumption was that the guy that when I asked you to pick it up, you listened to me and you picked it up for me. But then you say, oh, by the way, I actually picked it up with the intent for me to acquire it myself. Because remember, migo dezache lenafshe zachinami l'chavre depends on your intent when you picked it up. You picked it up with the intent to be mizakeoti. If you picked it up with the intent to give it to me, well, then it's mine. But if you picked it up with the intent,
you don't really be, can you really prove that in person?
So right, we have to rely on your whether you're telling the truth or not. Yes.
Okay.
So now, now we're going to prove. Okay, this is Rav Nachman. He's going to prove. This is Ula answering up the question. Right, matnitin damar tchila. And Ul is going to prove that he can prove from the wording of the Mishnah that it's talking about the Amar Tchila. Okay, it's not going to be the best proof, and we'll see Rav Nachman says otherwise. Hachinami mistabra, de katani seifa. In the seifa it says, imi shenatnalo amar ani zachiti tchila lo amar klum. When after he gives it to him, he says, listen, I acquired it first, he didn't say anything. Tchila b'seifa lamali, pshita. In other words, you wouldn't even need to say this. Obviously, if he's saying it's mine, if he gives it to him and then he says it's mine, right? Obviously, he means, right? Tchila lo amar klum, tchila b'seifa lamali, pshita. So, what are they trying to say here? That if in the seifa it says, right, you already, in the seifa, the guy gives it, okay, you already gave it to me. And then you say, oh, by the way, but I acquired it for myself first. And we say, lo amar klum. So they say, obviously, this is an irrelevant statement. Okay? What's their assumption at this point? Then when did he say Tchila? Tchila is after Shat HaGbaha, before he gave it to him. And obviously that's meaningless. But now they're going to say, Af Agav Delo Amar Tchila, Tchila Ka'amar. So now we're going to say, even if he doesn't say Tchila, then we're going to assume, 1 second, right, it's obvious that he meant even if he didn't say it. Okay, even at 1 second. They're assuming here that the tchila, therefore, must be that he said tchila mishat hagbaha. Okay, and therefore, af agav delo amar tchila, tchila ka'amar. And therefore, elalav ha kamashmalan, that reisha damar tchila. Okay, that not only, okay, we're going to learn two things from here. One is that the tchila that he means is bishat hagbaha. Okay, that when he lifted it, he had intent that it would be only for him. Yeah, this is how Ula is going to explain it. And likewise, he's going to say that even the Reisha is going to be the same situation, because we're going to assume, what's the difference between the Reisha and Seifa? Just that the guy already gave it to him, right? That's the main difference. But whether or not he had intended from the beginning, that's going to be the same, okay? Even though it doesn't say Sha'amar Tchila in the Reisha, right? But the assumption is it's unnecessary to say it, because obviously that's what he means to say, right? What he means to say is, I must have, right, that I acquired it for myself. Whether he says it or not, it doesn't really matter. So the point is, why does it explicitly say it? It's explicitly saying it to tell you, also in the Reisha, it's Sha'amar Tchila, okay? This is like because you could say the opposite logic. It only says it in the Seifa, because it only means it in the Seifa. Anyway, he wants to prove that it means that even in the Reisha that you said Damar Tchila, and therefore that would prove Ula that it was a case where he said, I did it Tchila, and if you say I did it Tchila, right, then it would be Anila, all right, 1 second, Matnitin Damar Tchila, and that's why it doesn't work, right? That's why in the Mishnah Peah, according to everybody, ani la'ani would be zoche. Okay, but in this case, the guy said from Shat HaGbaha, from the moment he picked it up with the intent for himself. He never intended to pick it up for the other guy. Okay, and therefore, the mishnah doesn't work. But if he hadn't said tchila, and he had originally intended to give it to the other guy, and then changed his mind before he even gives it to him, that wouldn't work, right? In other words, he wouldn't be allowed to keep it for himself in that case. Okay, so therefore, that's how Ula explains it. V'idach, what does Rav Nachman say? Tana Seifa legaluya reisha. Seifa damar tchila, reisha delo amar tchila, right? He's going to say the exact opposite, which is the reason it says tchila in the Seifa is dafka to tell you that in the Seifa and not the reisha. Rav Nachman v'Rav Chista damar travai. Hamagbiya metzia lechavero, lo kana chavero. Both Rav Nachman and Rav Chista both agree that what? This, we saw this the other day on Yantif when we learned. Hamagbiya metzia lechavero lo kana chavero. My taima. If you're magbiya a metzia on behalf of somebody else, the other person is not kone. My taima. Because it's just like have tofes lebalchov b'mkom shechav la'acherim. This is the case we discussed. Okay, for those listening online, we didn't discuss it together, so I'll start again from the beginning. If you take, somebody owes money to a lot of people, he doesn't have enough funds to go around, you go to collect your money, and you say, well, I'm here, I'll collect for my friend also. You can't do that, because your friend has to go by themselves, because what you're basically doing by collecting on behalf of your friend is you're making other people have a loss. You're making them lose out because the person is not going to have enough money to go around to everybody.
You're only making them risk having a loss because you don't know how much money the other person has.
Right, so it's a good question. I was looking at it today. The other day I wasn't sure it was only if the person doesn't have money. But it could be only if we know the person doesn't have enough funds to go around. If we know they're a multimillionaire, then, you know, maybe there's less reason for concern. Although, as we all know, you never know, right? In other words, people can go from one day to the next and can lose all their money. So it could be, in theory, almost everyone is potentially that if you take it now. There's actually a whole big debate between Rashi and Tosfot and some others about whether whether you does this mean you can't send a shaliach?
Yeah, you can send.
Okay.
Rashi says you can send.
Right. So Rashi says you can send a shaliach. That's different than your friend doing it. But Tosfot and some others disagree, and they say a shaliach is the same. You know, a shaliach is no different from someone else.
Yeah.
Which is really interesting, because we always say shlucho shel adam kimoto, and you actually have to go yourself to get the money. This is like anti-lazy people. In other words, why should you get rights because you could send a shaliach to it before someone else, and you couldn't go yourself, so why should you get rights to it because you have the ease to be able to send a shaliach and someone else doesn't? But that's exactly the debate between Rashi and Tosfot. In other words, it's a very interesting debate about whether a shaliach functions, and it's all about shlichut. Does shlichut work exactly like you, or is it not exactly? We do say shlichot shel adam kamato, but you see here, based on Tosfot's understanding anyway, that he doesn't view it as equal to you. Okay, and we've seen other places where shlichut is not exactly equal. In shlichut dvar avera, right? There's cases that it's not exactly equal. So anyway, it's a very interesting debate between them. So therefore, if tofes lebal chovim kam shochav la'acherim, that's when people are owed money by the other person. It'll be a definitely more clear loss for them, rather than a metzia, which is hefker, and anyone can be zoche in theory. So therefore, let's take the same logic and apply it there. By you picking up this metzia for somebody else, you're basically preventing everybody else in the world from picking up that metzia. So therefore, they make the comparison, but we saw the other day that not everybody makes that comparison, right? Some people say, no, it only is in a bal chov when people are owed money. But a metzia, since hefker and anyone can get it, you're not exactly causing a loss to anyone. It wasn't money that they were owed. Etive Rava le Rav Nachman. So now we're going to have a question on this. Rav is going to ask specifically Rav Nachman. Metzia poel la'atzmo. If a poel, you have a worker working for you, and he finds something while he's on the job, he gets to keep it. Right, obviously, it doesn't mean he found something in your house, right? It means he's working out in the field, and so, you know, find some item of hefker. He can keep it for himself. That's a case where the balabayit said, I want you to do a specific job for me today. I want you to weed my property. I want you to rake. I think ador is rake.
Dig.
What?
Dig.
Dig. I want you to dig with me today. You know, dig for me. But if he says to him, I want you to be my worker today, and anything I need done, you're my point person, then what happens? If he finds something, it becomes the balabayit. So what do you see here? He's, right? Ha-motze, right? What's the word? Magbia mitzia l'chavero, kana chavero. In other words, he's magbia mitzia while he's working, and it goes to his balabayit. So there you see. How could you say Rav Nachman? It doesn't work. Amarle shani poel diado kiya balabayit. A poel is different because he's functioning for you. Okay, this is again. He's almost like your shaliach. It's like a shaliach, right? It's almost like a shaliach question. It's a little different though because we're saying it's even more than that. He's an extension of you, basically. He's doing whatever it was you would be doing, and therefore he becomes yours for the day. For that day, he's owned by you. He's basically an extension of you.
It's also your land. It's also something that's found on your land.
Well, it's not necessarily on your land. He could be doing something elsewhere. It's hefker. It's not yours. It's something like a random item that happened to be in your property that anyone could have found. Again, it might not even be in your property that he is. You know, it could be he's while he's working for you. So now they say, v'hamarav. Wait a minute. How could you say that a poel, his yad is kabbalah bayit, he's basically you? What do you mean? V'hamarav, poel yachol lachzor bo, afilu v'chatzi ayom. Workers have rights, right? This sounds like Israel, right? You have, workers have big zchuyot. They can turn, you know, in the middle of the day, they can say, sorry, not doing the job. So now what does he answer? Amar lei. And that this is all, it's so interesting. It's all about ownership of slaves. How much do you own them? And then by saying their metzia belongs to you, it's like metzia of your son belongs to you because he's a katan and you have rights to him, basically. So it's kind of talking about he's your slave. So what do you mean he's your slave? He can change his mind. He can opt out if he wants. You can't call him your slave.
At some level, it applies to your wife, too.
Right, also to your wife. It applies exactly to your wife. Anything your wife finds belongs to you. Exactly. So Amar Le.
This is a worker that you're paying, not a slave.
Exactly, but a worker, this is what's interesting about a worker here. We're saying this type of a worker, you have rights to his stuff. In other words, he's bordering on slave. Okay, and that's exactly what we're going to talk about right now is how do we balance this? How do we treat the slave?
You pay for
okay, right. You pay for him so he works for you. And while he works for you, that's what the Gemara is going to say. Exactly that. So hold off 1 minute, okay? So what do we say? Amar leh, kol kama delo hadarbe kiyabala bayadu. As long as he's working for you, so he's an extension of you, and you have rights to all of his whatever he finds. But ki hadarbe, but once he changes his mind, tam achrino, but there's some other element functioning here. What is that? Dechtiv, ki li b'nei Yisrael avadim, avadayhem v'lo avadim l'avadim. And this is a very famous statement about how we're supposed to treat slaves. We're not supposed to treat them like slaves. Yes, while they're working for us, we can treat them like slaves in the sense that if they find something, we have rights to their stuff because they're working for us. Presumably, I assume also it means you're giving them food. In other words, you're getting...
There's a Jewish slaves.
Yeah, these are Jewish slaves. And then we're going to say, but, you know, if they don't want to work for you, they have free rights to decide they don't want to work for you. Am Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Am Rabbi Yochanan, Hamagbiya Matzia L'Chavero, Kana Chavero. Okay, here we have the other opinion, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that he is Kone. V'im Tomar Mishnatenu, what about our Mishnah, where it doesn't seem to imply? De Amar, what's the difference between this and our Mishnah? The Mishnah says, Tinehali V'lo Amar Zacheli. Notice the wording. He says, give it to me. He doesn't say, pick it up in order to give me rights to it. He doesn't say, give me rights, you know, take the rights for it. But if he had said, Zacheli, according to Rabbi Yochanan, then it would have worked. Okay, then a Magbiya Matzia L'Chavero would have been Kone Chavero. Okay, and he would have acquired the rights to it if he had
and
said Zacheli.
Presumably he can prove that he never meant to. It was the same issue of picking up at the same time and I wasn't listening to it.
Right, he could have presumably do that. Then we'd have to decide, is he telling the truth or not and what exactly happened. What do you want to say, Naomi?
No, I didn't hear what she said. It's fine. Now, the whole thing to me seems very unclear. Because in the end, well, I'm not talking about the Metzia, but I'm talking about a Baal Chov. What you said on Rosh Hashanah made sense.
Yeah.
Except that in the end, what, the claim, if you're taking for your friend, for the Chaver, is the same claim as if you're taking for yourself. If I'm taking back, if I'm being repaid a loan that I gave the guy and the guy owes everybody else, then I'm also preventing everybody else from devolving.
Yes, but you have rights to that because you, right. That's the whole thing. You can obviously collect on a loan.
The common thread through that entire mission and Gemara was that in the end it's a physical act and it's not an act of intention or whatever you say verbally. Because in the end it was always whoever Misha Tafas Tafas.
Unless he had intent, and some of the opinions said if he had intent to be mizaka the other person, then the other person does get rights to it. So not everybody agrees with that. But I think what you're pointing out, this issue about how is it that you can take it yourself, but you can't take for somebody else. First of all, I can't help but see in this, I'm not sure if this is really what's going on, but I can't help but think about, and especially with the shaliach case, this machloket about it, whether a shaliach can function in place of you, is trying to prevent laziness. It's all about you go first, you get your money, so you have first rights to it. You have first dibs. Don't just sit back and think everything's going to happen to you. I think like there's a real issue about trying to avoid people from just being lazy and letting other people do their stuff for them. And you're sitting on the donkey, and oh, go pick it up for me. You know, what do you think? Get off your donkey and you know go get your.
Well, not only that, but anyone can be your shaliach. I can say you can say to a friend, you know, I can't go get my gemara. Can you go get it for me? Like. I just think it has a shaliach, there should be more formality to it.
So maybe a more formal would work.
Yeah.
But again, that doesn't hold with Tosfos. It says shaliach doesn't even work in Ben Kopshachav
Lacherim. Maybe it has to be some kind of agreement, something signed, something.
Right.
It can't just be, can you just go pick that up for me? Because that is a laziness. Anyone can do it. A friend can do it.
Right.
Why can't the friend who's gone to pick it up from the creditor say, you know what, they said me, I'm the shaliach. They can lie. He's a good friend. He's like, you know what, I'm the shaliach.
Right.
They could do it on the spot.
If you've sent somebody, whether it's a friend or somebody else, it's still a shaliach.
But here...
A friend goes to pick up the credit.
Right. There's a magbim atzila chavero, kana chavero, or lo kana chavero. Let's say you say lo kana chavero, but if you hold, like Rashi, but a shaliach would work, there's a difference between just saying, go do it for me, and formally... appointing a shaliach, but then there's a whole separate thing, which is Tosfot, who says shaliach also doesn't work b'mkom shechav la'acherim, and you got to go do it yourself. Now, on the one hand, it could be also a little bit of trying to, you know, who could appoint shlichim? People who have money, and trying to prevent the poor people from getting stuck that
they can't get there.
You know, yes. Right, exactly. Or the poor person here who's got a friend who can go collect pay for him, but what about all the other poor people who don't have friends who are rich who can go collect things for them? So it's a little bit laziness, and it's a little bit trying to even out the social, you know, the socioeconomic. It's possible that those are things going on here. Okay.
It's also easy to prove. It's in your hand. It's yours. It's... Yeah.
Right. Well, then, so the other issue with shlichim and other people doing things for you, which becomes incredibly problematic, is number one, what was their intent? Did they really intend to get it for you or for them? And that's this whole complication with the Mishnah. There's also issues which we talked about in other places, and we're going to get to more about achrayut. What if, as they're bringing it back for you, something happens, and then who's responsible? Is it him or is it you? Yeah. There's a lot of complications with shlichim, and you know, so. I think it's also telling you a little bit to beware of, you know, having messengers do things for you because it creates lots of legal issues. Or could potentially. So let's go on. Mishnah. Ra'at ha-mitziyah v'nafal aleha. You see a mitziyah, and instead of picking it up, you jump on top of it. Uba achir v'hichzikba, and somebody else grabs it. Zechzikba. It sounds to me like a game of football, right? You fumble the ball and who gets on it and you're on top of it, but then it... Okay. I mean, in football, it would actually work if you jump on top of it, right? But here it's saying that doesn't work here. Okay?
It's rugby.
So, if somebody else grabs it, what did you say?
It's rugby.
Rugby. Okay. Yeah, I'm not as familiar with rugby. Okay. Gemara. Amar Rish Lakish, Mishum Abba Kohen Bardala. Arba Amot Shel Adam Kono Lo B'chol Makom. Wherever you're standing, okay, well, we'll see, is it wherever, but right now, we're going to assume that Rish Lakish says, wherever you're standing, count four amot, anything within your arba amot, okay, is yours. Why? My time at Kina Rabbanan? Delo ate la'ansut, or maybe it reads like this, my time, huh? Why is that the case? Because Takina Rabbanan, the rabbis instituted, delo ate la'ansuye. So the people don't start fighting over things. You're about to pick something up, it's right next to you, and then someone comes and grabs it. And you're like, what are you talking about? That was mine, I was right here. Right? So they want to teach people, it's a little bit like, don't get into people's private space, you know, give everybody their...
Wouldn't work in Israel.
Right. So... They instituted the Arba Mochel Adam Konotmo. So now we're going to see. Abaye and Rabbi Ish are going to have a comment about this. Amar Abaye, Motiv Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef Peah. Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef brought a problem with this statement from a Peah case. And Amar Rava, and Rava says, Motiv Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi Nezikin. And Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi brought a problem from a Nezikin Mishnah. Okay, each one brought a problem from a different Mishnah. Amar Bai. So now let's go through each one. Amar Bai. Motiv Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef Peah. Here's the case. Natal miktzat peah bizarak al ashar. He took a little bit of peah for himself, and then he threw what he took on top of the rest to basically say, I want rights to this whole, right? He picks up, let's say, right, I pick up this part of the peah, like a bundle, and then I throw it on top of a bunch of other bundles to kind of lay my claim to this peah. Ein lo baklum. He doesn't have anything. Nothing belongs to him, not even the one he picked up. Nafalo aleha, paras talito aleha, if he falls on top of it, or he puts his talit on top of it. Mavirino tohemena, we can take it away from him. He has no rights to this. This doesn't do anything. V'chein ba'omer shechcha, and same thing if it comes to shechcha, okay, whether it's pear or shechcha, something that the guy left behind for the poor. V'i amar arba amot shel adam konot lo b'chol makom, Niknele arba amot didei, right? What about falling on it? Well, if he falls on it, so he should have the four amot that are around him, which basically means whatever he's on top of should be his. Why doesn't it work? So hacha b'mayas kinan delo amar akne. It's where he said, where he didn't say, one second, delo amar.
We should acquire the produce to the institution of four amot. Everything around your mind, if you didn't call it, effectively.
Right. In other words, he... Right, so we're saying that he didn't say the words, I want to be kone. Okay, so then they say, in other words, wasn't that the whole point of making the takana? That he didn't necessarily have to say, I'm kone, right? Just as arba amot bikane. So now they say, kevan de nafal, gale date de binapila nikale de nikne. Barbamo lo nikale de nikne. If he hadn't fallen on it, then he would have acquired these because they're within his dalet amot. The fact that he fell on it is an indication that what? That he didn't want to use the kinyan of arba amot. He wanted to use the kinyan of nefila. And the kinyan of nefila is not a good kinyan. In other words, he, what's the phrase? I can't think of the words, but he kind of cut off his nose to spite his face. In other words, he, right? Is that the right usage of it? By trying to do a kinyan in a different manner,
he got nothing.
Okay? So Rav Papa Amar, here's a different explanation. Kitzkinu le Rabbanan arba amot ba'alma. B'sadeh de balabayit lo tzkinu le Rabbanan. When we talked about arba amot, what were we talking about? Arba amot in a public space. My arba amot belongs to me when I'm in a public space. If I walk into somebody else's property, I don't get to buy, acquire whatever is my arba amot, even if it's peah, and it's, even if part of it should, you know, I have rights to it. But that we can't say the concept that my arba amot should work to be kone would only work in a public space. It wouldn't work in someone else's field. So that's why he says you can't ask the question from peah. Even though, what do you mean? Peah, the rabbi, you know, the Torah said, you can go into, you know, it is public property, so to speak. But kizacha b'lei rachmana, lahaluche ba'u l'nekute peah. What did the rabbis allow? They allowed you to walk around the field and take peah. But lemehave chatzero lo zachele, but they didn't allow it to become your property, that you can be kone things, even the peah. You can't be kone peah in that manner in someone else's field. Peah, you can be kone by picking it up. Otherwise, also, it wouldn't even make sense. So that means everybody who goes into the field acquires whatever dalet amot of peah are around them, and it leaves no peah for anybody else. It doesn't make any sense. So that's a good explanation. So we now have two answers. Now we're going to get to the second question. I'm a Rava. Motiv Rav Yaakov or Edin Ezekin. What's that? Our Mishnah. Ra'at ha-metziyah v'nafalo aleha. Okay, again, he falls on it. We're going to see it's a very parallel sugya to the other one. Okay, the answer is going to be somewhat similar, at least in the beginning. So he sees the metziyah nafalo aleha. Uba achir v'ichzikba. Zeshich zikba zachaba. V'i amar arba amot shalem konola b'chom akom. Niknele arba amot didei. Right? He should get the four amot. The fact that he fell in it should have let him acquire at least the four amot around him. So hachabamayas kinan. You can't say, by the way, that this is stechaviroho, right? This is in the middle of the street. So hachabamayas kinan delo amar akne, right? He didn't say, I'm going to acquire it. So chitki rabbanan kilo amar mayhave, right? But so what? If the rabbis institute, you get your four amot, whether you said akne or not, shouldn't make a difference. So again, what are the answers? Same like before. Kevan denafilele gale date tebimifila nichale de nikne. Barbamo lo nichale de nikne, right? He, by jumping on it, falling on it, he indicated that he wanted to acquire it through kinyan nefila, which is not a kinyan, and he didn't want to acquire it through arba amot, because if he wanted to acquire it through arba amot, he would have acquired it without having jumped on it. Okay. Second answer. Now we're going to have a second answer here. Rav Sheshan Amar, ki takinu rabbanan besimta, de lo dachke rabim. Birushita rabim, okay, this is your answer, Deb. You said this wouldn't work in Israel. Okay, this is exactly it. When Rabbanan were metakin this takana, they did it in a simta. That's like an alleyway, and there's a side area where there aren't lo dachke rabim, there aren't a lot of people all over. But Rishita rabim de kadachke rabim, where there's tons of people all over, everybody's in everybody's dalet amot. Lo tzkina rabbanan, you're going to have all, this is my dalet amot, that's my dalet amot, they're going to, it's dafka all the more, so they're going to end up fighting. So it wasn't in Rishita rabim. And therefore, you could say that that case happened. He fell on the metzia. Why do you think he fell on it? Because he was worried someone was going to get it. He jumped on it, right? And that was in the middle of the street. But then it says, "V'ha b'chom akom kamar." What did Rish Lakish say in the name of Rav Kohen Bar Adela? He said, "It's koneh b'chom akom." So what do they say? "Kom akom la atu yetzide reshut harabim." Okay, there's two. There's different areas. There's the simta that's like off to the side. Then there's the reshut harabim. Okay, if you imagine the cardo, and within the cardo, there's all those areas off to the side,
yeah,
which are still public thorough. It's part of the public thoroughfare, but it's, there's less people there.
Like alcoves.
So exactly, alcoves. That's a good okay, like a niche. The Amar Rish Lakish Mishum Abakoin Bardala. Now we're gonna have another statement he's gonna say, and this is common. We haven't had this in a while, but since they bring someone says something in the name of someone else, so we'll bring another thing he says. Ktana, which is somewhat related. Sometimes they're really unrelated. This is at least somewhat related. Ktana ein la chatzer ve ein la arba amot. Okay, a ktana. Okay, what are we talking about now? We're talking about for a get. Okay, now a get, we talked about this the other day, about a chatzer mahalechet, that you can throw the, right, you can throw the get to the woman, you can throw it into her chatzer, you can throw it into her bosom, even if she's walking, right? In other words, we can throw her the get and that would work. Ktana, If she's a ketana, though, and you want to give her a get, she doesn't have a chatzer, meaning if you throw it into her chatzer, it's not kone. Ve'ein la arba amot, and if you throw it, okay, remember we had the Suffolk Megoresha case where it was Suffolk arba amot of his and Suffolk arba amot of hers, he throws her the get in Rashid Arabim, and it's a question whether it landed in his 4 amot or in her 4 amot. So is she divorced or not? It's like a classic case of Suffolk Megoresha, okay? It's the same thing with Kiddushin also. Suffolk Mekudeshet, if he throws her, you know, a ring or money or whatever it is. So she doesn't have the din of Arba Amot. So if he throws her the get into Arba Amot of hers, she's not divorced. Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Yani Amar, Yesh la Chatzer ve Yesh la Arba Amot. Okay, Rabbi Yochanan, classic, disagrees with Rish Lakish. Okay, has a Chatzer, has a Arba Amot. It does work. So now we're going to talk about what's the basis of this machloka, and it's a very famous chiluk about Chatzer. B'mai kamiflege. Mar savar chatzer mishum yada itrabai. Where does the din of chatzer come from? Chatzer is because there's two different ways to read it. One is that chatzer is basically an extension of your yad. Just like your yad is like an extension of your body, your chatzer is an extension of you. It functions instead in place of you. And therefore, ki hechidi le yad, ketana has a yad. Right? She's a person. She has a yad. She can accept it with her hand, right? No one would say, if you put the get in the ketana's hands, it doesn't work. So therefore, chatzer nami, itle. Okay? She also has chatzer. And the same thing would be with arba amot. Umar savar, chatzer mishum shlichut itrabai. Your chatzer is basically functioning as a shaliach. It's a messenger, okay? And therefore, what are we going to say? Ki hechi deshlichu leitla, chatzer nami leitla. She can't be memenaya shaliach. She doesn't have dad. Yes, we learned this. So chatzer nami, she also can't have. So now they're going to say, mi kaman de amar chatzer mishum shlichu ditrabai? How could you say the chatzer comes from shlichu? V'hatanya biyado. Okay, this is im himatze biyado agneva. This is about a ganav. Biyado, ainli ela yado. In other words, if we find that the stolen item in his property, okay, in his biyado, in his hands, okay? Now, what does it mean to find the stolen property in his hands? Obviously, the ganav doesn't walk around all day holding the stolen item, right? What if it's in his property, right? So, the pasuk says, ki matzei ti matzei biyado. So, ainli ela yado. It sounds like it has to be mamash in his hands for us to be mechayev in the kefil. Gago chasero v'karpifo minayin. What if we find it in his property, his roof, his chatzer, his karpaf? It's some sort of courtyard. A courtyard. Minayin. Talmud lamar himatzei timatzei mikol makom. So the riboy of the words himatzei timatzei implies it's also in his property. V'isal kadatach chatzer mishum shlichu itrabai. Okay, what are they going to say here now? Your chatzer is going to be if your chatzer functions as a shaliach, well then what do we say? Then your chatzer is responsible for the gneva, mishum, that it's a shaliach. Well, if it's your shaliach, what do we say? Ein shaliach lidvar avera, which means what? If a shaliach steals for you, then the shaliach is responsible and not you. So therefore, we're going to say, okay, we're going to obviously, this obviously doesn't work. Why does this obviously not work? Because what's the principle of Ein Shlichu Lidvar? It's a ridiculous question. They're going to answer it. But what's the principle of Ein Shlichu Lidvar Avera? That if someone told you to jump off the top of the Empire State Building, would you do it? You know, just because someone told you, you have your own brains and you should figure it out. It's the issue of, it's not exactly intention. It's that you should have known better not to do a bad deed. Whereas this chatzer obviously doesn't have dad. Yeah, you need dad to be a... Anyway, but they're basically, asking though is that a shaliach functions in place of you because of its da'at, right? Yeah. And a chatzer doesn't have da'at. So while it sounds like a ridiculous question, what they're really trying to get at is, this doesn't seem to make any sense. How could a chatzer be a shaliach? It's not a person. Doesn't have doubt. So anyway, they asked the question in a kind of silly way. But anyway, the kamala ain shlech lidvar avera. So amar ravina, hecha amrina de ain shlech lidvar avera, hecha de shaliach bar chiyuvahu. It's only ain shlech lidvar avera when the shaliach himself is a bar chiyuv. In other words, he's also forbidden to steal. Nobody ever, it doesn't say in the Torah, a chatzer is forbidden to steal. Okay, so No, meaning it could still function as a shaliach, but the principle of ein shaliach dvar avera just doesn't apply here because it only applies when he's shaliach bar chayuva. Aval b'chatzir de la bar chayuva hu mechayev shocho. This goes again to what we were talking about in Adam Muad la'olam, that you're still responsible if you send someone to steal for you, but there's someone who's more responsible than you, which is the other, the shaliach becomes more responsible than you because he actually did the act. You just kind of sent him. He did the act, so he becomes more responsible, and therefore he takes responsibility for it and has to pay it back, or pay the kefel. But in the chatzer case, when there is nobody to take more responsibility, so you're fully responsible. Okay, it's saying, don't ask a question about shlichut here. So they're basically saying, you could still say shlichut is mishum, chatzer is mishum shaliach. And it doesn't, the fact that he's not, that the balabayit is chayav, in Gneva, and not the Chatzir, that's just because the Chatzir is not a Bar Chiyuva. Okay? In other words, the principle of Ein Shlichut Dvar Avera is irrelevant in this case, but you could still say the Chatzir Mishum Shlichut Itrabai. So then they say, wait, if you're going to say you have to be a Bar Chiyuva in order to say Ein Shlichut Dvar Avera, so, Elameata Haomer Li Shave Eved, Su'u Ginvuli, if you go tell a woman or a slave to go and steal from me, to Lav B'nei Chiyuva Ninhu, they're not B'nei Chiyuva, and now this becomes very strange. What do you mean? They're not? Okay, so the assumption is that they don't have their own money, so they don't have to pay the kefel. In other words, it's wrong for them to do it. We'll see this in a minute. But they're not, they don't get punished. Okay, they don't have to pay the kefel. Hachanami demchayev shochan. So if somebody tells a woman to go steal for them, and the woman steals for them, so you are you going to say that the sholeach is chayav? Hachanami demchayev shochan. So Amart, Isha ve'eved b'nei chiyuva ninhu. So we're going to say, right? In other words, they are b'nei chiyuva, so they are responsible. V'hashtemia leilu l'shlume. In other words, they don't pay, but they are b'nei chiyuva. Okay, and that's why Ein Shlichut Dvar Avera is going to apply there, while it won't apply in the other case. Ditznan, nitgarsha isha. How do we know that they are b'nei chiyuva? Because if nitgarsha isha or nishtachwera eved chayavim l'shalem, if they steal and then she gets divorced and then has her own money, because all her money, remember, is her husband's responsibility while they're married, and the eved also. But if they get released, her by divorce and the eved by being freed, then they have to now pay up the kefel on what they stole.
So if she steals, is the husband responsible for kefel?
So, right. So according to this, if she steals, Petora Shaleach, 1 second. Right, so if she steals, I guess the husband would have to pay the kefel. It's
which
a good question.
She's divorced, either but she then has it's to pay
a, no, I guess not. No, I guess there's no kefel if a woman steals, according to this. It sounds like not only if a woman steals, there's no kefel, but if someone sends a woman to steal, nobody pays kefel, not the Shaleach, because he didn't do the Avera, and not the woman, because, well, it's annoying for the person who got robbed, yeah. But it's an issue, and there's a chisaron in the, you know, we can't be mechayev her. But that's why, as soon as she gets divorced, we can be mechayev her. We can mechayev the husband, but the husband didn't do it.
I know, but he made it, just like his wife. She didn't do it on her own will. She had no choice.
She might have stolen for him.
What happens if he says, if you don't steal, I'm going to kill you. You're my slave. I'm going to make you work harder.
But what if she's stealing not on his behalf?
Here it is, specifically it is, in the Gemara. It says,
so it looks like she's not responsible for
Kekel
anyway.
Right, in that case.
Right, I think really no one ends up being responsible. The Mefreshim also ask a little bit about what, just because they can't pay, they're also obviously commanded not to steal. In other words, there's a technical thing that they can't pay, but just the virtue of the fact that they're commanded not to steal should be enough to apply the principle of Ein Shlichut Dvar Avera, and therefore whoever sent them is not responsible, but they, even if they can't pay the kefel, the responsibility switches to them and no longer on the shulchan. Okay. Rav Sama Amar, right, we're up to the end. Right. Rav Sama Amar, Hecha Amrin an Ein Shlichut Dvar Avera, Hecha Di Bai Avid, Vi Bai Lo Avid. Now he says a different reason. Until now we talked about Bar Chiyuva. Okay, that the woman, right, they're not Bar Chiyuva, and the woman, so now we ask a question about this woman, so now we say, right, the woman's Bar Chiyuva, whereas they're not Bar Chiyuva, the Chatzir. But now we have a different reason. What's the issue? It's free choice. Okay? when do we say Ein Shalach Dvar Avera Hechadi Bai Avedi Bai Lo Aved? Like the Empire State Building example, right? You jump, someone tells you, you have free choice to say, should I, right? That's what we always teach kids. You know, use your mind. Think about it. Is this really what you want to be doing? Aval Chatzer, Deba'al Korchei Motiv, Motiva, Mechayev Shocho, right? But in the case of a Chatzer, where he has no choice, right? It was put in there without him choosing to do it. Therefore, we're going to be Mechayev Shaliach. In other words, the Chatzer has no free choice. So either he's not Barchiyuva, or he has no free choice. You know, it has no free choice. So my Ben Hayu, okay, what's going to be the Nafkamina between these two answers? Here's a great case. Ike Ben Hayu, Kohen de Amar Le'li Yisrael, Tzeva Kadesh Le'isha Grusha. Okay? Go betroth for me a Grusha. Where the Kohen can't marry Grusha, but he tells the Yisrael to do it for him. So the Yisrael is not doing anything wrong. He's not a Barchiyuva, right? But he's choosing to do something that he knows is forbidden. Right? Even though it's not forbidden for him. Follow? That's going to be the nafkamina. Inami, or another case, Ish da'amar la li'isha, a man tells a woman, akfe li katan. If you remember, we learned this whole thing, that it's asur la'akif pe'at kanchem, and right, pe'at arosh, and a man is not allowed to do it even for a katan, even though a katan's not barchiyuva, since the man is commanded not to do it, so the man can't do it, but a woman can do it to a katan. So what if the man tells the woman to do it to a katan? So again, she's not bar chiyuva, right? Lahach lishna da amar kol hechad yibay avid yibay lo avid lo mechayev shocho. Right? If you talk about free choice, so then the shaliach's not going to be responsible. These people did something that they knew was wrong because they were acting on behalf of someone who wasn't allowed to do it. Hachanami yibay avid yibay lo avid. Right? They should have chosen lo mechayev shochan. But lahach lishna da amar kol hechad de shaliach la bar chiyuva hu mechayev shocho. But if we say if the shaliach was not a bar chiyuva, then the person who sends is going to be responsible. Hani name kevan de la b'nei chiyuva ninu mechayev shochan. Okay, we'll stop here for today. Tomorrow we're going to get to what about chatzer mishum yad? Really say chatzer mishum yad? Yeah.
So this makes sense. Where the agent has free will,
yeah,
then the sender is not liable.
Right.
But back to the slave or the married woman who doesn't have free will. So wouldn't that then make the sender liable?
No, she has free will.
Not that the slave has no free will. Just say she has no choice. She has to steal him.
That you think the woman or the slave has no free choice? First of all, we didn't say it was their husband or the person in charge of them that sent them.
No,
it was some random person who sent them.
Some random person. What happens if they don't have a choice? They have no choice.
You're saying, what if someone puts a gun to your head and says, you have to do this? Ah, yafet. So that's a good question. That would be a good nafkamina. If someone puts a gun to your head and says, you have to do this, then are you responsible? So I assume you're not responsible, because in general we say...
But most slaves don't have free will. That's the very definition of a slave. So you can't. So then you can't say...
So then how could you be mechayev the slave when once he's freed? Be mechayev him to pay?
Yes.
Well, we don't know under what circumstances the slave stole. We don't know that he stole. I don't think the assumption is that he stole because the owner made him steal. I think the assumption here is that the person who sent him was not the one who's, so to speak, in charge of
them. It's a very general case, and it isn't. Which is very unlike the Gemara. Usually it's very...
Right, it's a general case of just any random case when it's Garshai
Yisham.
It's a good question.
The person who sent the slave should be the one who's responsible.
Mm-hmm.
Because here they're giving you the opposite argument, which is that the person, the agent, does have free will. And if the agent has free will, then the agent's responsible. But if you then flip that, then the sender should have free will.
Right.
The sender should be responsible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I think that you have to look back at the Mishnah there. It was a Mishnah in Bava Kamma. I don't remember exactly the whole context there. But I think that the assumption would be that a random person asked them to steal. It wasn't someone who had shlita on them.
There's got to be a reason why a random person would ask a slave, because maybe they know
that a slave
has no choice, or maybe they know
that they'll women are generally more weak, that they would just listen to what people say, or
someone,
you're saying in that.
So person X owns a slave, and person Y, who's a friend of the person X, says, "Oh, I can ask a slave to do it because that slave knows that he's got no free choice."
Right.
It's just it didn't say his slave.
No, it didn't.
But I just
say
like
that.
A slave has no.